find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Carver and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us on a Tuesday night on the grid. 844-843-6879 is the number. We, of course, have a lot to do tonight. It is Thanksgiving week. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. So you get us tonight, tomorrow night. Usually don't get us Thursday anyway, no Friday this week. So me and Joe tomorrow night will do the usual Friday night show with all the college and the NFL picks heading into the weekend. But tonight, we have plenty of football to talk about. Unfortunately, I like when there's a lot of hockey when George is here. And unfortunately, there's only a couple of hockey games tonight. So we will have to get some other things fired up as well. Mike Carver with you. No Joe tonight, out on assignment. Plenty of people he's after the weekend, that's for sure. He sent me some of the tickets, so he's out hunting for some of the people that let him down over the past couple of days, but he will be with me, as I said, tomorrow night here on CNL. But it's Tuesday. That means George Kurtz is here with us. Of course, gentlemen, George. Hi, George. How are you?
You mentioned, like, we only got two hockey games tonight, so a little disappointing here as the NHL has a heavy Monday-Wednesday slate because of Thanksgiving. Those are two usually light days in the NHL. And, Mike, we don't have any goals in either game. They're both at 7 o'clock tonight. We're not talking the greatest of teams here, Utah, Montreal, Vancouver, Boston here, but no goals in the second period. So, I guess their Thanksgiving might be starting a little early for these teams here. So it is what it is. We wait for some goals to be scored. Tonight we got football. I mean, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, Mike. As a child, of course, it was Christmas, but as an adult, it's Thanksgiving. I'm a Cowboy fan. That's a big reason for it. They're on every Thanksgiving. Family, food, friends, and football. Hard to beat.
Yeah, it is a good one, right? Because you could just kind of kick back. You know, you've got the games on all day long. You've got three games. And even when the games, George, aren't great, which I think that this year probably falls under that umbrella, right? I mean, I think that the NFL's gotten a little lucky that Miami's won their last three games, gotten back to 5-6 so that they can sell you that the night game has got some juice to it in terms of some playoff implications. But the Bears have been dreadful. They've lost 5 in a row, and Detroit has been smashing everyone. We'll talk about it later. We know where the Giants and the Cowboys are coming into this game this week. And even, George, now you have that fourth game, which is the Friday afternoon Black Friday game as part of this holiday slate. And for the second year in a row, they got a dud with that because Chiefs-Raiders, that's not exciting to me. But, George, it's football. and will find a way to watch, because there's always angles for us to make the game meaningful one way or the other.
You're right. All right. The games, I guess Green Bay, Miami theoretically should be the best game. All right. I think Miami is in the playoff hunt, really chasing Denver for that last wild card spot. They're certainly not going to catch Buffalo. That's not going to happen, but it should be a good game. It's a big game for Detroit. Detroit's went 8-3 in third place in their division. I mean, damn. Yeah. That's a little rough there as they chase Minnesota and Detroit there. So, the Friday afternoon game. All right. What are you going to do? Although, hey, Kansas City makes every game close. All right. They like to keep you interested. Kansas City's all helping Roger Goodell to keep these games close.
Me and Cam were saying today on Coast to Coast, we were talking about that game, and it's like, I was looking back, like the last five games the Chiefs have played with spreads over a touchdown, like they've sweated them all out. Like it's been like every Chief game seemingly has been down to the wire this year, but I don't know, George, the Raiders are, I mean, if the Raiders are going to bring me Aiden O'Connell or Desmond Ridder out to Arrowhead on Friday. You heard Mahomes after the game against Carolina Sunday. Didn't he say something, George, like, it'd be nice to have a blowout for once? Like, instead of all these close games, Mahomes made that comment. Man, if you ever got a blowout served on a platter to you before, it's one of those jokers playing quarterback in your building on Friday. So as much as I'd like to go after the Chiefs, because they haven't covered big numbers, I think they kind of have a team coming in that, they might be able to get Mahomes a rare blowout this year.
I think I've won three or four straight betting whoever the Chiefs are playing, taking the points. Yeah. Almost agree, because they win, but they don't. And by the way, a win's a win. I don't care that they win by three.
Yes.
Yeah, W's a W. It's just not college. You don't get bonus points for winning by 30. That being said, I'm having a hard time convincing myself to take the Raiders. All right, even I think it was a 13.5. I guess it has gone down to 12.5 now that I see it. But I'm having a hard time thinking, because you already said it. It's Aiden O'Connell. It's Desmond Ridder.
And Ridder.
We don't know.
Ridder's so bad.
Is Abdul the running back again? Because Madison and White can't play. And the whole team, they have two players. Maybe three players. All right, you got whatever Crosby can do as far as chasing Mahomes.
Right.
All right. You got Bowers, who's fantastic.
Bowers is great.
Yeah. And Jacoby Myers is a solid wide receiver. That's about it.
They don't got much out there with the Raiders. And you know what? I think also part of it is, they probably want to at this point. I know they'll never say it, but you want to lose all these games because it sounds like that's where Sanders wants his kid to go, is with Brady. And I think that's going to change the perception of that organization a little bit. Is having Brady now kind of being, minority owner, having some decisions. Davis clearly brought him there to help make the team better with his thoughts and his ideas. So I'm sure that's where Deion wants Shador to go. There's been reports they've worked out together. So keep losing, George. That's the way that you solve those problems moving forward. So we'll go through all of the NFL, and we'll even go back through a couple things from the last few days. How'd you like the Harbaugh Bowl last night, George? Were you into the Harbaugh Bowl? I was just glad that they didn't hit me over the head with it the entire night, letting us know it was the Harbaugh Bowl, because they usually do that, and they did at least keep it, not the just shoving it down your throat, which I appreciated watching the game.
Yeah, still, if you were playing a drinking game, every time they said Harbaugh, you're pretty lit. All right. I doubt you made it to the end of the game. You'd be unconscious there with alcohol poisoning. But listen, I have no problem. I like the Harbaughs. I do. I like the intensity. I like how they go about their work here. So I don't really have an issue with it.
They win.
I see.
They win.
Right? Weird team, Mike. But
George.
Off, gone.
George disappeared on me. We have to get George back. George disappeared into the night. With us here.
My device is sleeping. How does that happen? So... How does my device fall asleep?
Out of there's George. He's back. That happens.
My device said for sleeping. Your device is sleeping. How does that happen?
Joe.
Because I wonder if it's because
Joe
I mentioned sleeping.
TV. Yeah. Oh, maybe. Is that why? You got that one that you talked to it. And it'll... It does that. You got to turn that off.
There are even words I have to worry about now?
I learned my lesson with that, George. You have to There's a setting on there, no voice commands. You got to get the voice commands off or else it's...
God, now I got to find this. No voice commands. I didn't even know about this thing. Where is this setting?
We will...
Technology.
Yes,
technology
there.
Is great
it's
when
there.
It works
we'll
the way
have,
you want it to.
It's when it works the way you want it to, it's great. But in other facets, it is not. So we're going to go through a lot of stuff. I want to get also talk to George about what a wild finish to that Cowboy-Washington game on Sunday. There was a couple of wild finishes this past week. But that Cowboy game, and I tell you, they moved the ball a little bit on offense, which could be a good thing for a dead Giant team coming into their building on Thursday afternoon for Thanksgiving Day. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, George in for Joe. We're just getting going on a Tuesday night. We're back right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. George in for Joe tonight as we have a lot going on. There is a lot of basketball tonight, especially college basketball. I am interested in the Duke-Kansas game that's going to start at the top of the hour. What I'm really interested in, though, is this Michigan State-Memphis game ending so that ESPN can go to the college football playoff rankings for this week, which are always highly debatable and cause lots of people to get excited. So I'm waiting for that. And unfortunately, they are not going to go to that on ESPN until they finish the Stopey game from Maui. That they have on. So I will try to let everybody know whenever they actually announce it, this week's college football playoff rankings, because we are getting a little close to the end for that only, and there's tons of chaos with only two weekends left before we get the final field for that. George Kurtz is with me. As mentioned, I hear you say, George, that we actually got some goals in these two hockey games that are going on. Of course, Vancouver's in Boston tonight. You have Utah and Montreal. It was scoreless in both games in the second period, but it sounds like we have some breakthroughs.
Yeah, finally, we got some goal scoring tonight. Jake DeBrusk gets a little revenge against his former team, the Boston Bruins. Good deflection in front by Connor Garland. Right to DeBrusk for really an easy empty net goal. I guess the NHL looked at it. It was a challenge. They challenged, and now Vancouver's on the power play because the challenge was overruled, and I think correctly overruled. So I don't understand about coach. I don't know who made the challenge, but these coaches have the iPad or whatever they're looking at, the tablet on the bench. They can see. I mean, if you got to challenge things, you got to make sure. It's the middle of the second period, right? It's a goal. It's not an important goal late in the third here. That challenge was at best 50-50 that you were going to win it. And in the NHL, you lose a challenge, you put the other team on the power play. It's just not one in my mind you should challenge. It looked like there'd be a good goal right away, and you weren't going to win that. So I think it was a bad move by, the new Boston Bruins head coach there, right, as they moved on from Montgomery. So, bad for them there. We got 2-1, by the way. Is it 2-1? No, 1-1. I think Montreal just scored. So,
wow. So now it's
them and Utah have some goals.
Opening up suddenly all over the place.
I hope so.
And I am seeing a lot of people say, on Twitter at least, that the Bruins, that they gave him so much time to decide to challenge it too, allegedly. Like they really usually got to make that call fairly quickly. And the Bruins had a long time to figure that out. And you mentioned the coach getting fired. It's never good, George, when you fire a coach and someone else hires him like 5 days later. Like that means that your coach is well respected around the league. And I think this is the second or third time in a row this has happened to the Bruins, right? They fired Cassidy, and of course Vegas scooped him up about a week later. And now they fire Montgomery, and St. Louis fires their coach just so they could bring him in. Or did they fire him, George, because St. Louis is the only team this year that couldn't come back in the third period against the Islanders? It's possible that that's why they fired him on Saturday, because everyone else comes back against the Islanders in the third period. St. Louis didn't on Saturday, so that might have been why Bannister got chopped, because he couldn't accomplish that at the horse track.
You know, I had my meltdown on rage last night with Gabe when the Islanders blew another lead here. Was it four of the last five games now, and St. Louis is the only one that they didn't blow the lead against?
I mean, it's all year. It's They have allowed 33 goals in the third period. They've allowed 30 goals in the first, second, and overtime combined. 30 goals in first, second, overtime, 33 in the third. The Islanders this season, through 22, 23 games, whatever the hell it is that they've played so far. That's awful, George.
Gabe and I were estimating, and you're an Islander fan. What do you think is the percentage of games that the Islanders have had a lead in the third period? 70?
The percentage? I actually have it. I had all the stats out today for this.
They always seem to have a lead in the third period, then choke. I mean, if they just go 50-50 in those games, they're a playoff team. You know, don't get me wrong. They're not going to win the cup no matter what happens here, but it's the fact that they keep blowing these leads over and over and over again is extremely frustrating. It just makes me angry. You're not betting on the other team. It makes me angry.
Where is it? I actually had this. I had all the numbers out today when I was talking to Dennis Bernstein for this.
This is what you bet against the Islanders when they're leading the third period. You're going to get plus money. Bet against them. They can't hold it.
The Islanders, here's some good stats for you. They are 18th in the league in most time with a lead. They are 8th in the least amount of time trailing. They're 1st in the most time spent tied in the game in the NHL this year. Their time within a goal, that's ahead or trailing, is also 1st in the NHL. So they are playing the tightest games in the league, and they are always coming out on the wrong side of them. I'll give you one more. The Islanders have been tied or ahead after two periods in 16 of their 22 games this year. Tied or ahead in 16 of their 22 games. And as you know,
8 of 11.
George, they are.
That's like 78%.
8, 9, and 5 this year. And they 16 of 22 games. Half of their games, they blew. In terms of having either a lead or tied going into the third. We say it, and I know we're Islander fans of weed, but from a betting perspective, I'm sorry. Any night you see the Islanders with a lead going into the third period, bet the other team. Doesn't matter if it's one goal, two goals, hell, George, three goals. Bet the other team, live money line going into the third, because they just can't finish the game. Just can't. Can't finish the game.
I know we've been doing it. By the way, for anyone who's wondering, the Islanders play Boston tomorrow. So it all comes right back down to Boston. Although Boston will be on the second half of back-to-back nights, theoretically that should be an advantage for the Islanders. But yeah, you bet against the Islanders in the third period. You just do it.
And they're not changing mentioned anything a couple weeks up, ago. George. Yeah.
No, Roy says they're playing fine. They're doing everything right. Their asses are clenched. Yeah. Wow. And he's right. Their asses are clenched. All right, they're playing tight. They're playing tight with third period. It's also the offense's point, too, because they never get that extra goal. Right, they never get that that 2-3 goal lead that they need there to really make everybody relaxed more. As an Islander fan, it's frustrating. As a bettor, though, it can be very profitable.
Super frustrating. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. George Kirk in for Joe. Tonight, come back. A lot more to do on the grid right now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah. And we're back. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. George Kurtz in for Joe tonight as we have a lot going on. That's for sure. All right, George, tell me how excited you were watching the end of that Washington-Dallas game on Sunday. And I will say, it's me. I actually was working Sunday. I did in-game live with Ranieri during the 1 p.m. window. And when I looked at it the start of the week or even that morning, George, I was like, man, the early slate's not great this week. You know, you don't got a lot of big games. There's really not a lot to get you juicy. But, man, we had some great wild finishes between the Dallas game, Carolina giving Kansas City a push, Minnesota-Chicago was bonkers, Tennessee-Houston was pretty crazy. We ended up with a really good 1 o'clock slate, including Dallas, which was a 3-3 game at the half and looked like nobody wanted to be there. Aubrey missed a field, he got one blocked, and he missed one. Did he get one blocked and missed one, George, or is that the Washington kicker? He got one blocked and he missed one in that game, and then he got himself straight. The Washington kicker was just as bad, including missing that extra point after the McLaurin basically Hail Mary. It wasn't a Hail Mary, but, you know, a prayer at the end when he went the distance. About as wild a game as you could get. What did you think when the guy missed the extra point? Because Ranieri thought Quinn should have went for two because he was so bad throughout the whole game, and it was like a miracle that you were even there. So he thought he should have went for the win right there. He obviously thought otherwise.
There were so many things that went through my head. First off, the witching hours you mentioned, which is from 3:30 to 4 o'clock in the 1 o'clock games, was fantastic. Just fantastic. Wow. And it usually is, by the way. It's just it's the best hour or 45 minutes of football TV you're going to see. All right, with all these games ending and all the fun of what's going to happen here. The 1 o'clock slate sucked. It did. It was. I know, Mike. I'm here, you know, and I've got every game going on. I dozed off a couple of times, all right, because it was like, you know, there's nothing going on here. The Cowboy Commanders game was boring, and my first thought was, all right, you don't want to win anyway. You know, you want the good, you want the better draft pick, you know. And then you see all the exciting plays, and you know, and it's the Commanders, Mike. If this would have been the Cowboys versus, I don't know, the whatever
Minnesota or Tampa or something,
I
like
something,
yeah, like. Yeah,
wouldn't you care? But it's the Commanders
division,
you know, right? Division. It's more than that. I mean, for you, I imagine it's gotta be Dolphins, Bills, right? Because the hatred,
right?
All right, I don't like the, even though I'm the first person to admit the Commanders aren't the Cowboys' biggest rival anymore. It's the Eagles, all right. That only because those Commanders haven't been good for a long time. So you still want to win. And anybody listen who heard the promo in the beginning of the show, that's from earlier today. I mentioned that I'm a big Matthew Berry fan. All right, I'm a big fantasy player, and I like Matthew Berry. I like a sense of humor, blah, blah, blah. But Matthew Berry is a big Commanders fan, and he has been all about the Commanders on that TV show of his all year long. All right, it is hail victory, hail the Commanders, blah, 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 blah. And it gets a little annoying after a while. And they had a video of him in the NBC war room and that, you know, him going ballistic when McLaurin scores the touchdown, which I totally understand because I would be that way too. But then when Sievert misses that extra point, the look – just the look and the deflation, I'm like, you know, it made my heart feel a little good. Just a little good to see that there. That's the hatred for Washington coming through here.
Yeah.
So it was exciting. Turpin, wow. Although, listen, that second return for a touchdown, that's a dumb play.
Should have went down.
Should have
went down.
Yeah.
Me and Joe said it immediately.
Play,
we were screaming at the guy on the screen on in-game live. We're going, why is he bringing this back? Like, you're giving them again another chance for another McLaurin play. Like, you're just
go down at the one. Go down at the one. You don't need to get in. Just go down at the one.
My goodness. I couldn't believe that he did that. But that game, 41 points in the fourth quarter of that game after there was six in the entire first half. And I thought, George, and this is what, you know, when we get to in the second hour, we'll get more to Thursday and the rest of this week's games. I thought that Rush played well. Why at one point in the second half, when Rush was moving the football, why did he bring Lance in when they had a lead and Rush was actually moving the football? He actually was starting to get a little, getting Lamb involved regularly. What the hell was McCarthy doing? Bringing Lance in the game at that point. And me and Joe, I couldn't figure it out what was going on. You're going to have to wait, George.
They're
you have to tell me when we come back.
They're trying to force plays.
I'm going to run
out
of time.
Plays with Lance.
Force plays with him. I'm sure you liked hearing Jerry today that he's coming back. Mike's back. I mean, we're going to extend him. No problem. Carver and Lisa, Sports Grid Radio. SiriusXM, we're back in.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi with you, Sports Grid Radio, SiriusXM, Channel 159. Great to have you aboard here on the grid. All right, George. And just to finish off, we were saying, so Jones does his weekly thing in Dallas on Tuesday mornings. And he told the guys down there on the fan that he is that there's absolutely a possibility that he's going to extend Mike after this year. You know, one, he's done a good job, he said. And to, I guess if from the outside, George, if you weren't a Cowboy fan, you'd probably look at it and go, this is his first bad year that he's had there. Because he's won 10-plus games and made the playoffs in the other year.
You could look at it that way. Some might say they've won despite of him. Hey, but okay. Whichever you want to go with there. I mean, if you watch the Commanders Cowboy game, just watch that. Was I guess the second to last drive for the Cowboys. Where what were they doing, Mike? They needed to kill time, so they're having Cooper Rush do rollouts and then just curdle and take a sack to kill an extra three. It's like, what are you doing? You're going to give the team the ball back. And, of course, McLaurin scored the touchdown. No. But as I told you during the break, two things. One, I think Jerry said what he said today just to try and keep the Cowboys relevant. You know, make more news. You know, no publicity is good, that sort of thing there. Because we have to remember, what did he say during the offseason? Everyone's playing for their job here, right? Including Mike McCarthy. He wants to see what he didn't say about the regular season. What can you do in the playoffs? You know, so I got to think if he goes by his word that he's gone, but it won't matter. Jerry's just going to hire the next puppet. I don't want Bill Belichick anyway. I think the game has passed him by, but he's never going there. Vrabel's not going there. Anybody who has cachet is not going there. They'll get a job that they get control over. I don't know, Giants, Jets, maybe Carolina. They're not coming to Dallas.
Right. I think that's the one thing is he likes having a yes man. He likes having someone that he could tell him what to do, and can just, you know, do the cowboy way. Isn't gonna fight him on personnel moves. Isn't gonna fight him on anything. And Mike's that guy. And I don't think that Jerry wants to get rid of him for the next hot coordinator who probably is gonna want to have some say in wherever he goes. Like, I think this guy Johnson from Detroit, who everyone drools over.
No chance in hell.
I think that the reason he didn't leave Detroit last year was, I think he's waiting it out for a spot where he's going to have a lot of say in what he does. And I think that's the way that these coordinators kind of look at things now, and understandably so. So I think I lean more to the maybe, George, than the no, if with him extending McCarthy, because I think Mike can look at him at the end of the year and say, this is my first losing season. I didn't have my quarterback for half the year. The first half of the year, I didn't have my best player on defense, really maybe even my best three players on defense for the first half of the year. I think he's got a lot of excuses this year, whether you like them or not. And I think that
haven't won a home game since last year.
Now, that's a problem. I haven't won a home game since last year. That's no good to not do that. So we'll see what it comes down to. And I was thinking about how many jobs are going to be
I'm looking at it now. I'm looking at the same thing.
Usually 7 or 8 is what it's been the last couple of years. There's usually ones you could easily pick, and then there's some that kind of surprise you. Like, I think...
5.
You already know New Orleans and the Jets are already
6,
are already
7,
there.
8.
You're up to 8, huh?
I get the over if you're gonna set the over on, I think it's 7.5, maybe 6.5. But just going division by division, all right, it's Jets, right? I don't think anything happens in the north here. I think
Mayo is more 50-50 than because it's people are getting upset with him up there. I know it's his first year, but
right, I don't think so. You got to give it a second year.
It hasn't been an impressive. I know they didn't think the team would be good, but people don't like what he says. It's such a different thing than what Bill was. But the Jets are an absolute. They've already fired their coach.
Jets are an absolute. I don't think New England. I'll put in the maybe category.
I think Cincinnati.
I think Cincinnati's unlikely. You think they are?
I think they're going to fire Taylor. Yeah, I think they are. I think they're going to fire Taylor.
Is it his fault the defense sucks?
I think he's going to get someone's going to take the blame.
I don't think he's a good coach, but I think he might take the blame. Okay, I might give you that. I think Tennessee could be gone. Jacksonville's certainly gone. Pierce? I mean.
I don't think Tennessee will fire him after 1 year. I don't think he'll fire him after 1 year.
They better find a quarterback there. What about Pierce? Raiders.
Pierce
that's a disaster.
I think Pierce could be out.
Giants. I said Dallas. Chicago. Eberflus has to go. New
He'll
Orleans.
Be out.
Although New Orleans.
They're already out.
New Orleans has a chance where they might Carolina.
I don't think that guy will get the job. And Carolina, I think he's starting to turn Bryce around. I don't think he's going anywhere, Canales. He's turning Bryce around now. And I don't think anyone in the West is going anywhere. So I don't think it's that high.
But there'll be a surprise where there always is. Someone gets replaced, or whatever, retires.
One or two that you're not thinking of. There's always one or two.
I would take 6.5. I think the average, by the way, is 8. I would take the over on 6.5.
I would take the over on 6.5 because, like, I believe Cincinnati's going to fire Taylor.
They should fire Taylor.
I can see maybe, and I think New England could change. I don't think Kraft's going to want to go too much further.
Out of all the one-year head coaches, I mean, if we think Pierce is going to go, then I would probably take the over on 1.5 one-year coaches being fired. Right, so that could be Mayo. Yeah, you know, there's a couple other one-year guys that wouldn't shock me. You know, Tennessee. I don't think, like I said, Bryce. Carolina, by the way, is in a tough spot, Mike, because you're going to be I think by the end of the year, you'll be a top 6, top 7 draft pick. You might be in a position once again to get a quarterback. Do you believe in Bryce? Do you take, I don't know, Carson Beck or whatever, Nussmeier, whatever it might be at that slot? That's going to be a tough spot for Carolina. Is it Bryce? He's turned it around now. That the month off he had for Andy Dalton, has that changed him? Has Canales fixed him? That's going to be a tough spot for them as it sits now. Maybe over the last 6 weeks, we find that he is pretty good.
Well, that's the thing. I think that these last 3 games have given you some hope that maybe sitting, listening, learning from Dalton and Canales has maybe found something. Because the one thing that I noticed with him Sunday, and I watched a lot of the game because I was on Carolina and we were doing the show, was he was actually finding guys, huge third down conversions, finding the open receivers. Like, he was starting to look like the quarterback that we saw at Alabama. And it was the first time I really noticed that since he's been in the NFL. And maybe, George, if that continues over the next 6 weeks and he closes looking like, all right, we've got it, that changes their offseason in a huge way. Because if they think they've got him now, they're still going to have a top 5, top 10 pick, because they're not, even if they see the improvement like Sunday, they're probably not going to win a lot of games while they're doing it. That changes from we're back in potentially in the quarterback pool to, now we're building around him. We're getting him either a big offensive piece or an offensive lineman or something like that to start building around Bryce and spending some of that cap money. People, you know, receivers or skill players will say, oh, look, we can go to that guy. That guy maybe is going to be good. So this is a big 6 weeks for Bryce because, as usual, George, people are very fast to just toss him away. Ah, that's it. 10 games, get him out. Finished. Can't play. Done. And now we're seeing guys show you that's not always the case. Whether it's Baker, Darnold, on and on. You know, they're showing you. Sometimes you can't just throw them away right away. Harvard Lisi Sports Grid Radio, George in for Joe. We're back here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Harvard Lisi Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM Channel 159. By the way, quick update, they finally put that college football playoff out. As we thought today on Coast to Coast, Alabama, one of the last two teams out, first two teams out, I should say, them and Clemson. SMU is in the field. Indiana, they dropped to 11th, so they're still in, even though they lost to Ohio State. They have Arizona State at 16, but they would be in, obviously, if they win the Big 12, and they're going to move up, I still believe. Tennessee and Georgia in, Penn State, obviously, and SMU in, too. So Indiana, SMU, Tennessee all in for this week. We'll see how that much can change between now and the end of the line. As we were saying, George, about Young, you know, there's just, I think we're starting to see now a lot of guys, we've talked about this in the past, it's product of, you know, where do you get drafted to? What is your environment? Things like that. This Canales was brought there as a offensive guru per se, and a quarterback guy, and worked with Baker in Tampa when Baker first got there. I think he's pretty good. And Joe was high on him, too, when we talked about this a lot during the summer. And they just got out to such a bad start that you thought, all right, this isn't going to go well. But they've picked up the pieces now. And I don't know who they, you know, the games that they have left. I got it up here. They're 3-8. Home Tampa, at Eagles, home Cowboys, home Arizona, at Tampa, at Atlanta. So two games with the Bucs. They have the Cowboys in there at one point as well.
It's not going to end
there's
well.
It's not going to end well. It's well, look, I think there's a chance maybe you could win Dallas. A couple more games here.
Yeah, I think, who's that second win?
I think they can win one of the Tampa games.
Oh, I don't think so. I think Tampa wins that division, by the way. I think Tampa's
really?
Going to win that freaking division.
Don't say
look at
that
the schedules, man. Tampa played
don't
nobody.
Say that around Matias.
I have a ticket around on Atlanta. I have a ticket on Atlanta. Matias knows I do. You know, but Atlanta looks
listen
like they're a dying
schedule.
Team.
I mean, you got to be kidding me. Tampa, now you're right. If Tampa could take care of business, they played Carolina twice. Now, I think the way Carolina's played the last 3 weeks, that especially this week with the game in Carolina, maybe they could give them a rough time this week. But they played Carolina twice. They have the Raiders. They have the Cowboys. They have the Saints. And they go to L.A. to play the Chargers. That's really the toughest game that they have left. That's what, George? 6, 7, 8,
maybe they
9.
Lose twice.
9-8 might be enough in that division.
Right. I think that's the worst.
The Falcons. That's the Falcons. The Falcons have a pretty rough finish, and I know Matias would know this better than me, but I believe the Falcons.
They also play the Chargers this week. Although I think Atlanta. Listen, you're getting the Chargers at the right time. Cross country,
yes.
Short week, early game. But that Minnesota
you
game.
Know, the Falcons.
The Falcons better beat Vegas, and they better beat the Giants.
And they have a Carolina game, too, at home in Atlanta. So they have, you know.
If Atlanta can split the next two, don't lose both. Split the next two against the Chargers and Vikings, they're probably okay for at least a wild card spot. They by the way, they play Washington week 17. That could be for a wild card spot.
I still believe Atlanta's going to win the division. I because they're at 6.
I hope they do, but I don't like it.
I think
Atlanta
Raiders,
beat Tampa twice.
Giants,
that's key.
Raiders, Giants, and Falcons alone get them to 9. If they can win one of Chargers, Vikings, and Washington and get to 10, I think 10 will win it. 10 will win the South. They got to win
10,
one of those three games and take care of the other game.
I would agree. I think 10 does win it because I think Tampa might get the 10 as well, but Atlanta has the tiebreaker.
They beat them twice. So... Tampa,
yes.
In that set, would have to get to 11 in order to jump Atlanta in that scenario. They would have to get an 11th win.
Which I was scared last week. I'm not scared anymore. It's the best time to play the Chargers. It's the best time to play the Chargers right now. We got lucky. Atlanta got lucky. They lost Dobbins. It's a big-time loss for them. You can't just replace that guy. He was killing it. And you know what?
They got the Gus Bus.
Gus Bus is good, but he ain't Dobbins. Dobbins has been cutting left and right like nobody's business all season long. He was on a mission this year, and you know what? He was successful. But, hey, do you think the Charger receivers show up? How about Quentin Johnson? 0 catches, how many targets? Palmer not being able to catch any balls. I got to say, lots of drops. It's a time to play them now. That's all I'm saying. We got lucky that we're playing.
Here's what I'm going to say to you. You're coming off a bye. You're healthy. They're coming off a Monday night game. They'll have to travel across country. They're not healthy.
Exactly.
Dobbins, et cetera. I actually
I'm
kind of surprised they're favored. The Chargers are favored, to be quite honest with you. I'm thinking Chargers -2.5.
They have
a
better defense.
Surprising to me.
They got a defense. The Falcons have got a defense.
I think you should win this week. And if you do, you'll be back on track to win this out. If you win this week, if you back
on
screw.
Well, because then they got Desmond Ridder and the Raiders come waiting on Monday Night Football, you know, in 2 weeks from then, because then they got the Vikings in Atlanta, and then the Raiders.
The Falcons and Raiders are playing on Monday Night Football? Really? Falcons and Raiders on Monday Night Football.
They got flexed.
Yeah, Falcons Raiders.
Is that a Monday night game?
Yeah, I'm going to it.
He's right.
I'm going to it. I'm traveling.
You're going to that game?
Absolutely, baby. First time the Falcons are in Vegas. The Dirty Bird crew's going
to
be in Vegas.
They got
it's Monday night. You can't flex Monday night games.
Yes, you they can. You're allowed to flex Monday night games.
Then they should have flexed out the you should have flexed out the Texans and the Cowboys.
In fact,
sorry, George.
The
other Monday.
I saw a story today saying that because the Bills are playing the Lions that Sunday. That's a massive game, that Bill Lion game. And that's actually a double Monday night week. And they were saying that CBS could now why do they have the thing is that Fox has a 425 and CBS has a 425. That's weird, George. That usually doesn't happen.
I think they do that late in the season.
Okay. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM. We're back here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi with you, SportsGrid Radio, Sirius XM. Channel 159. All right, George. So we'll start the second hour. We'll go through all the games for this week. Of course, three on Thursday, one on Friday, and then all the games on Sunday. I will just finish up. You're right about that. They start to do the 425s late in the year. I did see a story that they thought about. There's some talk that maybe that Bill Lyon game, which is a massive game, George, especially if they both keep winning. You figure by the time you get to that game, the Bills could be what? 10-11, 11-2, and the Lions could be 12-1, 11-2 and 12-1 when the Bills and Lions meet in week 15. Now, I don't see why CBS would give that game up at 425 on Sunday to Monday Night Football. Now, Fox has Steelers-Eagles at 425. Those are two great games at 425 that day. You know how the NFL likes to put the marquee games in windows alone, not have two marquee games at the same time. That's the only thing that I could see maybe moving. Now, the Sunday night game that week is Packers-Seahawks.
It's a solid game. I mean, two playoff teams.
Not as
right now,
the
Seahawks are in first place.
Not as good as the other two games.
Would I rather see Bills Lions? Absolutely. Absolutely. But like I said, these teams are allowed to protect one game. You know, these games were the ones they protected here, more than likely anyway.
Right.
So
the network, CBS and Fox could pick one game that they can't take away.
What would you have to promise them to get them to give it up? I don't see what you could promise them. Those are major ratings winners,
right?
Both games. Especially Bills and Detroit.
Yeah, the Bill-Detroit game is going to be massive. And I know they do have some sticky spots. I talked to you last week about this. That Buccaneer-Cowboy game in Week 16 on Sunday night. Now,
it's
like
not,
you said,
it's not
the Bucs,
going anywhere.
Because the Bucs are going to be – they could. It's the Cowboys and the Bucs are still in it. If the Bucs ended up losing a bunch of games and got to 5-7, 5-8, then you got to get rid of the game. But
Cowboys,
the Bucs
are ratings winners. I mean, it doesn't matter. They're good. They're bad. They're indifferent. People either Cowboy fans are going to watch the Cowboys or Cowboy haters are going to watch. Right. Then you got, of course, Tampa Bay fans. It would be somewhat of a shock if that Cowboy game got moved to me, because once again, they're ratings winners. You know, I'm not saying they should. You know, I would rather see a better game myself. I don't want to watch the Cowboys. Okay. It's sickening. It's my turkey on Thursdays is not going to go down well. But they're ratings winners. That's all that matters is money.
That they are. I agree with you. I think they're going to keep the game based off of that. And week 17, NBC has Dolphins-Browns as the night game at 8 o'clock.
There's no chance.
And you're already getting enough of Cleveland. Cleveland played Thursday last week. They're playing Monday this week against Denver. You can't have Cleveland on Monday night, week 17, Sunday night football, week 17.
Unless it snows again. I can deal with Cleveland if it snows again. That's about it. The only time
I was going to bring this up when we get to this week's games. There's a talk of some pretty good snow for Sunday night in Buffalo. for Bills 49ers. They're talking about some good snow for that Sunday night game.
Usually for better games, I don't want to see weather. I like the bad weather in games. Like, okay, make this somewhat interesting. Let's have some snow, some rain, whatever. I don't know if I'm going to say the Niners and Bills are going to be interesting, though. Niners are not the Niners. This is not the Niners team we're used to. So many injuries.
No, it is not.
You know, I think the Bills win. Bills coming for a bye too. Bills are going to win this game. You know, Purdy. I don't know how healthy he's going to be. You got Kittle, Trent Williams, Bosa. You go on and on with this team. Injuries, injuries, injuries.
I hope you're right. I don't. I would like it if it's a no sweat game, George. That would be great for me.
I bet you would.
No sweat. Get me to 10-2. That sounds perfect. I'll take it if we could do that on Sunday night.
6.5.
What they got the total at now in that game? I haven't
44.
Looked today since that snow.
Bills Niners circle the wagons and only 44.
Well, that the weather has definitely moved that then because I'm.
Let's see. Let's
I'm
check
pretty sure, George, that was, and I'm double checking now.
Yeah, I'm looking
I
now
think
too.
That opened.
Right now, Mike, I'm gonna have a big teaser in this game. I can tell you that right now. I'll take the Bills down to a half just to win the game and over 38. That's going to be a big teaser for me.
They got the opening at 45.5, but I thought it was 46 in that area. But either way, it's down to 44. Carver and Leachy Sports Grid Radio. We got another hour to go. George in for Joe. We're back on the grid right after this.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.